We're going to learn Daf. We're going to learn Daf Yud Aleph in Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start from the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. That's where we left off last time. So, the Mishnah on Yud Amud Beis says as follows. Remember, we already went through the concept of Yodos. We went through the concept of Kinuyim. And now we're going to go through which words are that make the nether. What exactly makes the nether into a nether? So, ha'oimer lachulin. Okay, so the girsa that we have to have over here, and the Ran makes a big deal about how we pronounce it. It's la with a pasach versus la with a shva. But we're saying that you say lachulin, as we're going to see in the Gemara in a moment, that lachulin means loy chulin, that I don't want it to be chulin. So you say as follows: lachulin sha'oichalucha. If I say lachulin sha'oichalucha, that's not chulin that I am giving you to eat, which means, so what is it? If it's not chulin, then it must be kachim, it must be a carbon. So if it's a carbon, that's why the neder is chal, and if the neder is chal, that's why it becomes asur, like a neder. Similarly, now the Mishnah is going to go through a number of examples, which we'll have to go through. Loi kosher, that I don't want this thing that I'm feeding to you be kosher. Loi dochi, it shouldn't be pure. And then the Mishnah, interesting, switches and it doesn't say the veloy anymore. Now it just says tahar, it should be tahar, vitame, it should be tame, noiser, upigol. Now noiser and pigol, again, this is not kachim, so we're not going to get into it in depth, but difference between noiser and pigol is that noiser is you just physically left the carbon over beyond the period of time that it was supposed to be eaten. So we have, for example, carbon chatos. After you shech the carbon chatos, you have that night and the following day in order to eat. That's the time period to eat the carbon. If you do not eat it in that period of time, it becomes noiser. So the following night, immediately, it becomes noiser. And once it becomes noiser, then you have to burn it. So obviously that is something that is usur. Pigol, on the other hand, is where you didn't actually necessarily leave it over, but rather during the avodah of preparing the carbon, for example, during the shechita, the halacha, the zrika, during one of those major acts of bringing a carbon, you have in mind, for example, to eat the carbon after the time period. So you're saying to yourself, oh my gosh, I have so much to do over here, I'm not going to get a chance to eat this for another day. And then that is already beyond the period of time when it's mutter to eat the carbon. So that thought itself makes the carbon into pickle. So you didn't actually leave the meat over to that, even if I end up eating it on time. The fact is that during the avoda itself, during the maisa of the avoda itself, I thought I was going to either eat the carbon in the wrong place or the wrong time. That already ruins it, piggles, it's mafagled the carbon, it ruins the carbon, and it's not a kosher carbon. In any event, that's what noiser and piggle is, just so that you understand that it relates to the process of bringing the kachim. Now that you understand that, you can understand why that creates a nether. And the Gemara itself will talk about how exactly it works. But it creates a nether. You're saying that I want my object, whatever my object is, let's say it's a different piece of meat, I want this piece of meat to be usur like pigle. I want it to be usur to create the isur just like pigle is going to be usur. So all of those cases are usur. Okay? And the Ran makes an interesting point. The Ran is very focused on the fact that it doesn't say loy tohar, veloy tame, veloy noiser, veloy pigol. It doesn't say that in all these cases. It just says it straight out. The Ran has two pshatim and why that is not necessary. But the simple pshat is because these things are intrinsically usur. Now, actually, I have to be careful how I use that word. These things are obviously usur. That's a better way to phrase it. These things are obviously usur. When I say noiser, there's no other explanation other than to say that it is usur. So I don't need the fact that it says loy. That's one pshat. The other pshat that the Ran gives is that it says lachulin and loy kosher and loy dochi. It says it all beforehand. So I don't need to necessarily say it every single time. We'll follow the flow. The Mishnah doesn't have to say the word loy every single time beforehand. Because again, it's just self-understood that that's the procedure, that's the way to say it. The Ran asks the Kasha on Tahar, but the Kasha really applies to the other ones as well.
No,
The word dachi and the word tar mean exactly the same thing. Why by the word dachi does it say veloy dachi, but by the word tar it doesn't say veloy tar, if they mean exactly the same thing? So that is what pushes a little bit the Ran to say that that's the simple reading. Enochanami, I don't have to say the word loy before each one. Once I said it once, since they mean exactly the same thing, it could only mean that we continue to read it with a lamed, either la tahar or loy tahar. And we read it the same way. There's no, because there really is no difference between those. Halachically, there is no difference between them. In any event, all of these cases are examples of things that I could use to be matfis. So let's talk about what the word matfis means for a second. The word matfis means that I'm attaching. So every time I make a neder, as we've discussed many times already, the concept of a neder is my creation of Isser. It really, the Torah gives a list of 613 mitzvahs. The Torah gives a list of certain things that are mutter and certain things that are usser. Okay? But, and that should be the extent of it. Anything else, if it's not listed in one of those places, should be mutter. I can go, and so that's what you would think. The chiddush of a neder is, I can go ahead and I can create pretty much anything on the face of this earth and make that into an isser as well. I could say, this Gemara should be usser. Why should it be usser? Because the Torah already created the concept of a carbon, and we know that the carbon comes with certain isurim, so I want my Gemara to be like a carbon. Now, obviously, my Gemara is not a carbon, because that's not what I'm trying to say, and that can't be accomplished anyway. So, what I mean to say is, the isurim that would apply by a carbon should be matvis, should be attached to the Gemara. And then this Gemara then has, depending on how I made the neder, to whom I made the neder, and so on and so forth, then this neder then has those aspects, that kind of isser. Now that is only true when we're discussing something that I created the isser. There are plenty of things in this world that are usser, that are intrinsically usser, that the Torah said they are usser just because. And the example I like to use, not because it's the perfect example, but I always like to use a piece of chazer. A piece of chazer. The Torah said, well, it's chazer treif. It's not really treif, it's chazer. It's usser because it's usser. But in any event, that's intrinsically usser. That's why I was careful not to use the word intrinsically. It is objectively usser. So that's not something that I created in Isser. We'll talk about that in a moment when we get there in the Gemara. The point is that every time I'm making my own neder and I'm creating new Isser that doesn't exist, it's really mutter. And the Torah gave me the right to create new Isser through the concept of a neder. So when I create this new Isser, it has to be matvis, it has to grab onto something else in the context of Isser being created. So if Isser was created, the Torah said certain Isurim are created, they went from mutter to usser, so too, I could also take something that goes from mutter to usser. And that's why, for example, just to finish the point, that's why I can't be matvis on something like a piece of chazer. Because a piece of chazer was never mutter. It was always usser. So I can't make my object that is mutter to be like chazer. It can never be the same. Because chazer was always usser. It could only be those type of things that were once upon a time mutter, became usser, and then I could also say I want my object, whatever my object is, which is completely mutter, also it should become usser. Okay, but that's the concept of matmis. So all these examples, as we'll see in a moment, all these examples are things that the isser is being created. The Mishnah continues with a few other examples. Ke'imra means like a sheep, which is understood to be like a carbon. Kedirim means like my barn that has many sheep in it that is going to be designated for karbonos. Ke'etzim, like the wood that is going to be used for a carbon. Ke'ishim, like the flame on the Mizbeach. Ke'mizbeach, like the Mizbeach itself. Ke'hechol, like the hechol of the Beis HaMikdash. Ke'Yerushalayim, and I also want to make it usher to Yerushalayim. That's the Tanakama Shita. Nodar ba'echad mikol misham shem mizbech. Also, if I made a neder in any of those objects that are used to serve on the mizbech, like the forks or the spoons or the spatulas, whatever they are that I used on the mizbech, afal pi shaloi hiskir carbon, even though I didn't say the word carbon, harei zeh nodar b'carbon. What I mean to say is, obviously, I don't mean the spatula, because the spatula in and of itself, I mean, it does have kedusha because it's hektish, but it's not the thing that's really usher. What I mean to say is, it's servicing the carbon. So what I'm that months. That's really what I'm alluding to. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my object also should be like a carbon. But the chiddush of this Mishnah is, in its various different ways and examples, is trying to say is that I'm trying to aser something like a carbon, and these are all examples of how to get to be similar to a carbon. Now, the end of the Mishnah is a point just on the last point. Yehuda Omer, Ha'omer Yerushalayim lo yomar klum. If I say I'm making a neder on Yerushalayim, that's not going to be us. And the Gemara is going to explain why Rabbi Yehuda's halacha is a little bit different and what exactly Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say. We'll get there in a moment. But if you just say Yerushalayim, that in and of itself, even though Yerushalayim has Kedusha and has certain halachas, but that is not enough to create a nether. Okay, so far that's the Mishnah. Again, in one sentence, the point of the Mishnah is I don't have to use the word carbon, but I do have to use something which has Isser, which has created Isser, and that is another way I can make a nether to make my object similar to those objects, and it's going to be Osir going forward. Okay, now that takes us right to the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara starts as follows. Savruha, we thought like this. Even though it's interesting, the Ran points out that even though the word Savruha usually means the Havamina of the Gemara, it's not really only the Havamina, it's the Maskana of the Gemara also, but the Gemara phrases it that way. Savruha, we mean to say like this. My lachulin, it's a funny way to pronounce it. Why are we saying I want it to be lachulin, to chulin? I mean loichulin, lahave. What I mean to say is what I'm feeding you is not chulin, ella, carbon. I have to understand. So if it's not chulin, what is it? It must be that it is a carbon. Fine. And therefore it's aser. Because remember, the whole point of the Mishnah is various ways to get to the iser of carbon. But the problem is, manimas nisin. Who would be the Tana of our Mishnah that would say that that's the point, that it means it should be, if it's not chulin, it is carbon? Reb Meir, if you want to say the Shita of our Mishnah is Reb Meir, less leimach la'alavat hashemayahein. Reb Meir does not hold of this concept that we can insert the obvious opposite. Meaning, according to Reb Meir, if I want to say something, I have to say, and Reb Meir actually says this in various ways throughout Shas, but this is another example. I cannot, just because it's not chulin, doesn't mean that it is necessarily kachin. Doesn't necessarily, I mean, it could be, it makes sense that it would be, what else could it be, I don't know. But Remeir, at least halachically, does not believe in the concept that the inference of the, if it's not this, then it must be something else. And that's Remeir Shita, by the way, in all of Shas. It's actually a Machlekes Rishonim, whether it's in all of Shas or various examples in Shas. The point is that let's for simplicity's sake say that's Remeir Shita. Remeir Shita is, I can't say just because it's not Chulin, therefore it is Kachim, and therefore it's going to be Asur. There's a lot of therefores. There's a lot of things that we have to insert in order for this to make sense. So it can't be Remeir Shita because the whole basis and the whole premise of this Mishnah is that I'm saying it's Lachulin, which means not Chulin. If it's not chulin, then therefore it is something else, and that other thing must be the thing that's also, and therefore I made a neder. Now, first of all, how do we know that Reb Meir holds this concept? It's non. This is a famous Mishnah. Reb Meir Oimer, Reb Meir says, Kol Tanai She'enoi Kitanai B'nei God U'B'nei Ruvain Enoi Tanai. So this is the famous Tanai B'nei God U'B'nei Ruvain, which means when they made, this is again, the story everybody knows is when they were going into Eretz Yisrael, God and Reuven didn't want to go, they didn't want to get land in Eretz Yisrael, rather they wanted land be'Eivor HaYarden, so they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, we want to stay here, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. If you come in and you fight in Eretz Yisrael, then you can take the land over here. But the pasuk continues and it says, and if you do not fight in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to get the land. So we see that the pasuk was makbid to do the converse, to say, if you do it, yes. If you don't do it, no. Okay? But Moshe Rabbeinu had to spell it out. Because the obvious was, if I'm saying if you do it, yes, then me as a regular average guy, I will understand that, well, if I don't do it, then the answer is no. But even so, Moshe Rabbeinu had to point it out. And Reb Meir takes that literally and says, every t'nai, every condition has to be done where you spell out the opposite. And if I don't spell out the opposite, then it's not a real condition. I have to say that if you don't do it, you're not getting it. Or this is not happening, and so on and so forth. In any event, the Gemara wants to extrapolate from that, or the Shas wants to extrapolate from that. We see that Reb Meir holds, you don't use the inference. We don't figure things out on our own. At least halachically, we don't do that. If you want to say something, you have to say it outright. Yeah, you have to say, if it's yes, it's yes, if it's no, it's no. You have to say all of that in order for it to be work. And therefore the same thing can't be true in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, loy chulin. Okay, so it's not chulin. So what is it? I don't know, you have to say what it is if you really mean it. That would be Reb Meir Shito. So it's definitely, so right now the Gemara is saying it's not Reb Meir, Ella Reb Yehuda. So fine. So of course Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda are the classic machlekes. So if it's not Reb Meir, it's Reb Yehuda Shito. The problem is, Eima Seifa, let us say the end of our Mishnah itself that we just read a moment ago. Reb Yehuda Oimer, this is the last line of our Mishnah. Reb Yehuda says, Ha'oimer Yerushalayim Loi Omar Klum. Fine. He says, if I say the words Yerushalayim, that's not a proper neder. That doesn't make anything usher. Now, without focusing on the particular halacha, the point is it's Reb Yehuda talking, and the Gemara therefore says, me to say for Reb Yehuda, if this is where Reb Yehuda wakes up and makes his point, Reishalab Reb Yehuda, that means that the rest of the Mishnah was not Reb Yehuda. It's only this last line that apparently is Shitas Reb Yehuda. To which the Gemara responds, no. Kula Reb Yehuda, really, you could read the entire Mishnah to be Shitas Reb Yehuda, so don't worry about Reb Meir, this is all going according to Reb Yehuda. V'achi Ketani. And the way to read the Mishnah is as follows, that the reason why it works is, that the reason why I can make a neder as follows, because She Reb Yehuda Oimer, She Reb Yehuda Oimer, because Reb Yehuda says, Ha'oimer Yerushalayim Lo Yomar Klum. Because Reb Yehuda says, if I say Yerushalayim, which does not infer, does not, I don't know if that's the right word, does not necessarily lead to understand that therefore there is an Isser. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that it doesn't work. As opposed to the rest of the cases in the Mishnah, where I don't have to spell it out. I can understand from what I said that you meant the Isser part of it. Because again, if it's not Chulin, what is it? It must be Kachim. If it's Kachim, it's gonna be Isser. Okay, so I can understand that from what I understand. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda Shita is, the problem is if I say the words that don't work, that really don't work, that's when it doesn't work. But if I say words that I could figure it out, that's going to work. So the answer the Gemara wants to give right now is that the whole Mishnah is Shitas Reb Yehuda. Don't worry about the Mechla Lava Tashameh Hain business. That's only Reb Meir Shita, and our Mishnah is Reb Yehuda Shita. The problem is that we want to say the whole Mishnah is Reb Yehuda. The problem is V'chi Omar Ki Yerushalayim L'Reb Yehuda Mimitzer. So we're saying that, fine, Rabbi Yehuda very clearly says that when I say Yerushalayim, it doesn't work. So, but if Rabbi Yehuda holds Mechlal Avat HaShemehin, then when I say Ki Yerushalayim, it should work, because that's the whole, it's only the words Yerushalayim that's a problem, but if I say it correctly, I add the Chaf, and I say Ki Yerushalayim, it should work. But the problem is, Vatani, we have a brisa that says exactly not like that. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ha'oimer Ki Yerushalayim Lo Yomar Klum. Even when he says Ki Yerushalayim, it also doesn't work. Ad sheyidah b'davar hakarav b'Yerushalayim. Until I use the object that is brought as a korban, for example, in Yerushalayim, then it's going to be aser. So it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't. You want your whole teretz was that it's really Rabbi Yehuda talking at the end because he's the one who's been saying it all along. But the problem is that even Rabbi Yehuda is not consistent with the beginning of the Mishnah, because at least according to this brisa, if we follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that even Ki Yerushalayim doesn't work, then Lachulin won't work either. Because we see that we can't infer anything unless you literally spell it out. You have to say the object, i.e. the carbon, that is brought in Yerushalayim. So we see that it's not Rabbi Yehuda Shita in the beginning of the Mishnah. Which the Gemara finally responds and says, no. Kulu Rabbi Yehuda hi. We could still say the beginning of our Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and that's not a problem. V'trei tanoi alibet Rabbi Yehuda. And in Rabbi Yehuda itself, there are two tanoic opinions as to what exactly Rabbi Yehuda said and how extreme Rabbi Yehuda's opinion goes. So this machlokes of the Tanoim in Rabbi Yehuda really is not inconsistent with our Mishnah. Really, Rabbi Yehuda again is going to agree with our Mishnah that Mechlal Avat Hashemehein and the first many cases that the Mishnah gives are going to work. It's only specifically when dealing with Yerushalayim that is a problem. And the problem is specifically when I say Ki Yerushalayim, what do I mean that it's like Yerushalayim? What part of it? What aspect of Yerushalayim am I focused on? Am I focused on according to one Shita, according to the Braisa Shita, when I say Ki Yerushalayim, like Yerushalayim, what about Yerushalayim? Like the stones, the streets, the wall, the houses. Yerushalayim is a beautiful city, so I want it to be like Yerushalayim. But being like Yerushalayim doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be Aser. There's many parts and things about Yerushalayim that are not Aser. And that's what I meant, and therefore it's not a neder. That's the Bryce's opinion. The Mishnah's opinion, on the other hand, is no, that I can have parts of Yerushalayim. I mean the Kedusha part of Yerushalayim. I don't mean the rocks and the stones of Yerushalayim. I mean the Kedusha. What's the Kedusha? The fact that you bring karbonos, the fact that it limits where you could eat karchim, and so on and so forth. So that's the Iser part of it. And since that's the Iser part of it, that's what I meant in my neder, and therefore that's what's going to be Aser. As we'll see, as we're going to see in the Ran, that whenever I have, this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and it's going to be consistent in the Gemara here, that whenever I have two ways of interpreting my words, what did I mean? Because when I said the word Yerushalayim, I could mean the stones and I could mean the Kedusha. I'm always going L'chumro. By Nedarim we go L'chumro. And we say that it means the Kedusha part of it, because that's the one that's going to create the Iser. As opposed to the other way to interpret the same thing, it's not going to create the Iser, so that's not what I mean. That's at least according to the way our Mishnah is learning. The Bryce on the other end said, no, Yerushalayim has so many attributes to it. It could be that when the person said Yerushalayim, even when he said Ki Yerushalayim, he only meant the Yerushalayim itself physically. And if I mean Yerushalayim physically, then it's not going to create an Iser. Okay, so that takes us to this point in the Gemara. This point in the Gemara, the way to learn the Mishnah is, like Shita's Reb Yehuda, it's not going to be Reb Meir's Shita. Okay. Now, that takes us to Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Now, we're right at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara continues and says, Tanya, we learned another Braisa. Another Braisa that says as follows. Chulin, ha-chulin, ka-chulin. If I say it is chulin, ben sha-oichol l'cho, whether I finish the sentence that I will feed you, ben sha-loi oichol l'cho, or I won't feed you, mutter, it's always going to be mutter. Now obviously if I say I'm feeding you chulin, there's no isser involved at all. So I didn't create an isser, the neder has nothing to be matvis on, it's obviously going to be mutter. The chiddush over here is that even when I say shaloi oichol l'cho, that also, if you hold that this price is going like Reb Meir, that we don't hold the mechlal lavat Hashemei Hain, again, if it's chulin I'm not giving you, so the inference is, so what am I giving you? I'm giving you kachin. So again, if you hold like Shita's Reb Meir, it's not going to be usher, so it's going to be mutter. Okay, so notice, by the way, the transition of the Gemara. This is important to appreciate as the Gemara continues. The transition of the Gemara is we're going back to Shita's Reb Meir. We're going to focus again on Shita's Reb Meir. Even though we already said our Mishnah is Reb Yehuda Shita, we're going back to focus on Reb Meir Shita. Why don't you go back? Baisa continues, though. This is what makes it interesting. Lachulin sha'oicha lecha aser. But if I say it should be chulin that I am feeding you, then it's going to be aser. Now over here, lachulin again is going to be loy chulin. It's going to be aser. Lachulin loy oicha lecha, then mutter. The Baisa says it's mutter. So the Bryce itself, the Gemara is going to dissect and say, let's figure this out. Because it says, again, just that last line, lachulin means it's not chulin, I'm not giving you. So that means what I am giving you is chulin. So it's going to be mutter. Okay. So fine, that's the whole Bryce. Now, the Gemara takes it apart. Reisha money, remeri. See, the Gemara itself says. The beginning, first half of the Braisa is Shita's Reb Meir. The reason why it was always, whether I say, shaloi oichalucho, it's going to be mutter, is Reb Meir Shita, de les le, mechlal avat hashamei hein. Because Reb Meir doesn't hold of, I can make the inference in the opposite direction. Fine, no problem. I'm very good with the beginning being Reb Meir. However, Ema Seifa, but the problem is the next line in the Braisa switches and says, Lachulin loyoichalucha mutter. It says, it's not chulin, I'm not giving to you, it's going to be mutter. Why? Because what I mean to say is, it's not chulin, I'm not giving it to you, but what I am giving to you is chulin. That's why it's mutter. Because what I'm giving to you is chulin. And the only way I'm able to learn that is by Mechlal Avat Hashemei. V'atnan, okay, so that's not Shitas Reb Meir. V'atnan, we learned, La Korban Loi Oichalucha, And I'll prove to you it's not consistent with Rav Meir Shita, because we have a Farish Mishnah. The Mishnah says, La korban loy oichalucha. It's not a korban that I'm not feeding to you. Rav Meir oiser? Rav Meir says it's oiser. Now that's exactly the same words. La chulin and la korban should be this, and over here it's la chulin sha'oichal and la korban loy oichal. Again, it's the double negative, so you just have to pay attention to which way. Again, chulin yes, korban no. So they're exactly the opposites, but the inference in both cases is that I am feeding you chulin. So it should be mutter, and even so Reb Meir all of a sudden over here says it's aser. The kashalon, and the Gemara itself, or the Brisa, the Gemara itself had this problem. So even in Shitas Reb Meir, it doesn't even make sense. Why would Reb Meir say, la korban lo yoichalucho is going to be aser? Because the only reason why it's aser, It should be because if it's not a carbon that I'm not feeding to you, that means it is a carbon that I am feeding to you. That's how we understand that it's going to be usher. So, but Reb Meir doesn't hold of that concept. He doesn't hold of we figure out what he's trying to say and therefore creates the usher. So how would you explain, and this is Reb Meir himself talking, the Omer Rebbe Abba, so Rebbe Abba has to explain why Reb Meir Shita makes sense. He says, no, because we're reading it incorrectly. The way to read it is, Nase ka Omer la korban yehei. Don't read it the way we've been reading it till now. La korban means loy korban, that it's not a korban. Rather, just the opposite. La korban yehei, it should be a korban. Lefichoch loy oichalucho. That's why I'm not feeding it to you. So that's why, so now all of a sudden, we're taking out that double negative. This is no longer a double negative, this is all straightforward in the positive. It's saying, it is a carbon, and therefore I'm not feeding it to you, and therefore it's usher. Which is a classic reason why it's usher. And that is very consistent with Reb Meir Shita, because now I'm spelling it out. I'm saying it is a carbon, that's why it's usher. So it's, that's Reb Meir Shita, and that's why it's usher. So, if that's the way we're going to explain that Mishnah in the context of Korban, Hachanami, so over here also, in the case of Lachulin, I could say the same thing. Hachi ka omar le. What I mean to say is like this. Loi chulin lahave. It is not chulin. I already said outright, it's not chulin. Lefichach loi oichalucho, that's why I can't feed it to you. Since it's not chulin, and only chulin is mutter, so that's why I can't feed it to you. So, that's how come, at least it's not a contradiction in Shitas Reb Meir. It's not a contradiction in Shitas Reb Meir, because you could say that once I say explicitly it is usher, so either I use the word carbon, or I say lachulin, that it's not, or loichulin, it is not chulin, meaning it's not mutter, so then I could then finish my sentence and say that it's going to be, that's why I'm not feeding it to you. But the problem is, it's still a little bit, it's not 100% consistent with Reb Meir Shita, because we still, if we're saying loy chulin, it's still a little bit of an inference to say, well, I guess, it's still nachulin doesn't necessarily make it usser. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Hatana savala ki Reb Meir b'chada, upaligale b'chada. So this Tana of our Mishnah, even though Reb Meir wouldn't necessarily say this example, Reb Meir would give the example of carbon, which he does. L'karbon, l'yoychalcha, that's the example Reb Meir gives. Notice Reb Meir does not give the example of l'ychulin. He doesn't give that example. Why? So the Tana of our Mishnah is agreeing with Reb Meir in one concept, but not applying it the same way Reb Meir would apply it. As the Gemara itself says, he agrees with Reb Meir generally that what? If you say straightforward, it's not this, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is something else. Similar to Reb Meir Shita, in that regard, I agree with Reb Meir. I can't insert what I think it should be. I can only insert what I know. However, upaligale b'chodo b'korban. But he argues with Reb Meir when it says la korban. Meaning that when I say it is a korban, in that regard, when once I make it into a korban, then it is usher. So when I say that it's not chulin, it is a korban, so even if I don't hold of mechlal avat hashamei hein, when it comes to being a korban, or actually the simpler way to read the Gemara is as follows. Upaligale b'chodo means that he doesn't agree with Reb Meir Shita that la korban should be usher. So in other words, I'm going to take Reb Meir Shita, actually the Tana of this Mishnah is taken even more extreme, and saying, I agree with Reb Meir that that we don't hold a mechlal avat Hashem ehein, which means that I have to literally say it. And therefore, when I say la korban, I'm not going to translate it the way Rav Meir wants to conveniently translate it, that la korban means that it is a korban. Rather, I'm going to stick to what our usual la korban. It's not a korban, and if it's not a korban, so then it's going to be mutter. Even if I don't hold a mechlal la b'tashemei hein, it's not a korban. If it's not a korban, I never made a neder, and that's why our shita is going to say la chulin shaloy ocholcha is going to be mutter, because if I don't hold a mechlal la b'tashemei hein, it's not chulin. It's not anything. It's nothing, and I'm not going to. It doesn't matter whether I say I am going to give it to you or I'm not going to give it to you. The bottom line is it's not usur. If there's no isser involved over here, so it's going to be mutter. That's the first teretz of the Gemara, which means that maybe Reb Meir's shita actually would hold of la chulin would be good, because it would mean that as long as I reference an isser, then I can build on that isser. That's by korban, because I mentioned the word korban, so I could build on that isser, and I don't have to do the flip. But according to the Tana of our Mishnah, it's like, no, if I say la korban, I mean it's not a korban, and it doesn't mean anything anymore, because I don't hold a mechlal avat Hashem ehein. If it's not this, then I don't know what it is. It's nothing. And therefore, I don't have a neder. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says, Hoda Omar lachulin, v'hoda Omar loy lachulin. Now, this is slightly, there are different kirsois over here in the Gemara in order to make this work. The way the Ran learns is actually, the way he learns is like this. It depends, hada amar lachulin, hada amar lachulin. Lachulin. Meaning there's a difference between whether I say with a pasach, lachulin, or lachulin. Now, when I say lachulin, it means it's not chulin. Now remember, if we're going to Shitas Rav Meir, we don't say mechlal la'avat Hashem ehein. Whereas if I say it with a shva, and I say lochulin, what I mean to be is lochulin, it should be chal. Now chal is an Aramaic word which means it should be connected, it should become something. So if it's lochulin, it should be what? What should it be? This is a yad. It should be, we say the word toida, it should be a carbon, it should be a toidus carbon. That's the way the Ran learns the Gemara. So lachulin, when I say with a lamid, and I want to say Rav Meir Shita, I don't know whether it's going to work. Whereas if I say it lochulin, then I mean to say it should be something. It's, again, remember, similar to what we said before, is that once Rav Meir creates an isser, I don't have to worry about the inference is the problem. But if I say it outright, it's going to be usser. So lochulin, it should be. So, as the Gemara says, the mashma loy lahave chulin el karbin lachulin. If I, it's lachulin, it should be to be chal. Again, you have to take out the word. It's not the word chulin as we understand it. We typically understand chulin means mundane. It means that it's not anything in particular. So then, it's not really usser unless I say, well, if it's not this, then it's something else. But if I say lochulin, that it should be for the purposes of creating a chal, a chalois, it should be for the purposes of creating something, then I don't have to worry about, but so what is it? I already said it should be for the creation of something. What is it creating? That's not a mechlal lava toshamei hein. It's not from the inverse. It's not from the opposite. It is I could say I am creating something, and then we could figure out what we're creating. Rav Meir doesn't argue on the concept of yodos, which means that I could finish the person's sentence. Rav Meir does agree. He just says we can't finish the person's sentence by saying the opposite of what the person is saying. If I'm saying I don't mean this, I can't insert what do you mean. But if I say I mean something, and now we have to just figure out what it is that I mean, that's okay. Rav Meir is okay with that. Finishing the sentence, Rav Meir is okay with. So that's the way the Ran learns Pshat and the Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is saying it's all Rav Meir Shita, but as long as I'm not trying to infer the opposite, if I'm trying to infer the opposite, that won't work. But if I'm just saying, I'm going to say that I want it to go in that direction, I can finish the person's sentence for him and say it should be lochulin, it should be chal, it should be chal, and it should be chal is what? It should be chal is a carbon, therefore it's going to be awesome. So this is what we're going to do today. Okay, so now let's start the next Gemara, which is towards the bottom of the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara gives some of the examples in our Mishnah, which is Tahar, Vitame, Noiser, Upigol, Aser. Okay, so again, these are just various examples. As we said before, in order to make a Neder, the Neder has to be similar to something that is Aser. something that there was created Isser, but the point is that it has to be something that was Usser, and then I'm making my object Usser like the carbon, like the other thing that is Usser. And these are just other examples of things that are Usser that I'm making it similar to. But by the way, the Ran does point out, now that we're quoting this part of the Mishnah by Tahar and Tameh, so the Ran points out, just as an interesting aside, that there are places in both Shas, but more importantly, there are places in the Torah, where the Torah uses the word Tahar or Tameh to mean kosher or not kosher. What's the classic example of that? The classic example is when we're listing the animals. What's mutter to eat and what's usher to eat? We refer to the behema tahira, the tzipra tahar, and versus the behema tameya. Behema tameya, it's not so much that it's not a tumah, it's not a hilchus tumah that we're talking about. Now it happens to be that there are interesting differences in hilchus tumah between a quote unquote tahar animal versus a tame animal. There are differences in hilchus tumah, but that is not the point of the Torah, and we don't understand it that way. When you're reading the Chumash and it says behema tahira, we understand what that means is that it is an animal that is mutter to us versus a behema tamea. We understand that to mean, that's the simple reading, so to speak, is tame means usser. So the Ran wants to point out that's the definition that the Gemara, that the Mishnah is using. When the Mishnah uses the word tahar and tamei, over here in our Mishnah, it is referring to that translation. Tahar meaning mutter and tamei meaning usser. Okay, I just wanted to point that out. It's very interesting point. What? Based on that point, the Gemara asked the following question. Boi Romi Bar Choma. Hare alai kebosar zivchei shlomim. I want to create an isser upon myself, like the zevach, like the meat of a carbon shlomim, la'achar zrikas domim. Like the meat after the zrika mal, what's the halacha in that case? So just, again, without going into too much detail, but the way it works is, I designate an animal, I'm just going to give you broad strokes over here so we can understand and appreciate the question of the Gemara. When I take a regular animal, as I said, I take it out of my barn, it's perfectly mutter. Then I go ahead and I say, okay, this animal is going to be used as my carbon shlomim. The moment I do that, this animal then becomes hektish. Not even bedek habayis, it becomes hektish itself, it becomes designated for the carbon, and it belongs to hektish, and I'm not allowed to use it. There's me'ilo, there are very specific isurim that apply to that animal. Then I go through the process of bringing the carbon. Now, the Gemara's example is by a carbon shlomim, so I don't want to get it. There are obviously differences in various halachas depending on which carbon you're talking about, but we're going to stick to shlomim for a second. Eventually, I go ahead and I shecht the carbon shlomim, and I catch the blood, and I do zrika on the mizbeach. And I burn, and I sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. The moment I sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, the meat from that particular animal becomes mutter. And as we all know, we're somewhat familiar with the fact that a carbon shlomim then becomes mutter labailin. It becomes mutter to the person who originally designated and brought the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. He can go home and take that meat, not home, he could take that meat and eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. But it becomes his again, with some restrictions because it was kachim, but it becomes his to do as he wants. And if I use the meat, there is no Isser Me'ila anymore. The Zrika unleashes the restrictions. Once I do Zrika, once I do the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach, it is no longer has the all of the restrictions that were once upon a time there, and it's going to be mutter. So here the Gemara is asking a very interesting question, because we always say that when I make a neder, I'm making my neder to be similar to the carbon. Now, we all just automatically assume that when I'm talking about the carbon, I'm talking about the carbon when it belonged to Hekdesh and it had all the Isurim and the restrictions on it. That's what we just assume, because otherwise why would I be making the Neder? The Gemara is asking, and a carbon Oila, for example, which is for sure Aser. Right, everything about it is Aser. It never becomes Mutter, even after Zrika, because a carbon Oila is the opposite of a Shlomim, that even after I do the Zrika, I still have to take the meat and burn it on the Mizbech. It remains Hekdesh forever. Whereas shlomim becomes mutter. So now, in this example, what I'm saying is I want my neder to be like the piece of meat of shlomim, but after the zrika, which again unleashed, it released all the yisurim, and now it's mutter. but I'm making a neder on but I'm calling it a shlomim, but after that point. So the question is, what? So do I mean to make my neder aser, or do I mean to make my neder mutter? What am I really focusing on? Why am I talking about the meat after the zrika? After the zrika, it's already mutter. So what kind of neder am I making over here if there's really nothing aser about it anymore? Again, there are still restrictions on it in general, but in particular, it's not kachem anymore. It's not restricted. It's not aser. Anybody could eat it. It's not restricted in that respect. Anybody can get hanoah from it. It's not restricted. So what do I mean over here? Idika amar. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara, first of all, says, what exactly did I say? I understand the case. The case is we're talking about a piece of meat after the shlomim, after the meat, after the zrika. Either karma bahadein lishna. If I literally said these words, I am trying to compare it to the meat of a karma shlomim after the zrika. If I said it like that, bahateri kamatvis, there's no question that I'm talking about a piece of meat when it is mutter. So then, that's not an eder. That's for sure going to be mutter. And here you see the word matvis that we talked about before, where I'm attaching it to something that's mutter. So if it's something that's mutter, my neder is mutter. So there's nothing to talk, because I said, I want it to be like the meat when it's mutter. Okay, there's nothing to talk about. Elos, or rather, cases like this. The mochis basar zivchei shlomim, that I bring close a piece of meat that was already shechted and everything was done. It is a piece of meat of shlomim. Umachis deheter, and then I bring close another random piece of meat that is completely mutter gabe next to it. And I said, zeh kezeh. And I say, I want this piece of meat, meaning my totally mutter piece of meat, should be like this piece of meat that is shlomim. Now, I didn't say the words, like the piece of meat of shlomim after the zrika, because if I said it after the zrika, I meant mutter. I just said like this. Like this, and of course we look at it and we say this is a carbon shlomim, because we still refer to it as a carbon shlomim. So my, so here now the Gemara can describe what its question is. Be'ikaroi kamatvis, do I really mean to be focused on its essence, on its main point, which is it is a carbon shlomim, and therefore I'm referring to it as a carbon shlomim, and I mean the iser aspect of the carbon shlomim, because why else would I be comparing it to this piece of meat other than to say it's a shlomim? It has its glory, it has its kedusha, it has that's what I'm trying to catch on to, and if I'm trying to latch on to that, then it's going to be aser. Or realistically, what can I say? Okay, I have all these good intentions, but at the end of the day, this piece of meat is mutter. This piece of shlomim at the moment is mutter. So which one of those two pieces am I really focusing on? Am I focusing on the mutter part of it, or am I focusing on the aser part of it? Okay, so right, I know this is right in the middle of the sugid, but the Gemara does continue on Yud Beis. I'm going to stop over here, and we'll pick up with this kasha, and we'll give the teretz, Amir Tz Hashem, next time.